The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, Doctrine of the United States and Prophecy. We are in Roman numeral 18, page 6 and 7 of our notes. All right, before we begin our study, we'll give you an opportunity to make sure that you can truly maximize from the study this evening. That means that you need to be in fellowship, that you've dealt with any personal sin in your life appropriately before God under the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, and in the condition of filling the God, the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship, we are then able to correctly perceive and ascertain the truth of Bible doctrine. It is this way that we test the spirits of information that are out around us. Obviously, a lot is in the news in regards to false this, false that. You want to know the truth, you better let God the Holy Spirit have rulership over the real you experientially, and let Bible doctrine guide you and direct you in regards to these things. And as is our custom and practice, that's the way we approach Bible doctrine in all Bible classes, in all cases, and we give you opportunity to rebound once again this evening as necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in this section of the doctrine that has, I believe, more than adequately documented the United States being the not only best candidate, but really, truly the only candidate that checks all the boxes in regards to prophetic future Babylon with this counter-allied spiritually of Edom or Esau, and that being none other than the United States. It is a prophecy where God decrees our ultimate judgment for the evil that we are associated with and that we engage with in as a nation involved in global international politics, as well as other obviously evils associated within the society in and of itself. That judgment is to be one of fire. That fire, as we have documented, is none other than a nuclear attack by a northern enemy known as the Medes, which is code for Russia and its allies, that will occur in 1 hour of one day. For us, we can faith rest and relax in regards to the situation at hand, in that we know that the timing of this event occurs during the period of the tribulation. And in that period, we as the church, believers who have lived from the day of Pentecost, those who were alive before Pentecost had believed, but were alive at Pentecost till the rapture itself, will be removed from this planet. For all intents and purposes, our country then will be left with not even a lukewarm inkling of Christianity involved in regards to directing society and all that it does as a country and as a nation, even though evangelism obviously will occur during this time. Otherwise, people are given warning to get out of her, to leave her before the consequences of judgment comes upon them. Israel, in particular, is seen as a target of warning in that regard. Others, as our country, e pluribus unum, from many one, come from all sects and all different aspects of the planet, And they will all go back, those who become wise during this time, take heed of the warning, will return to their homelands in order to escape the wrath. Roman numeral 18, here we are documenting the United States, if you will, historical heritage as a nation and its descent into evil that brings about its judgment. Again, the spiritual condition of the United States is likened to that of Esau, known also as Edom. Edom, historically, was allied with Babylon and helped raise or destroy Jerusalem in the destruction of Israel under the Babylonian captivity in that respect and in 1586 B.C. And they are party to, prophetically, with all the parallels that we've seen in regards to Babylon, and they are designed to characterize the spiritual aspect of our nation at the end times as a nation that is given and founded on great spiritual heritage, the potential of, and in time denies it, rejects it, turns from it, and instead falls under the wrath side of God because of their evil that they engage in rejection of the truth of Bible doctrine as a nation, in spite of the fact that its laws are designed to substantiate or to uphold this aspect of Christianity and the pursuit of it in its very laws. So, A, there we saw that there is a nation established by God, as all are. Again, the purpose of our establishment of independence of the eagle's wings from the lion, as is so depicted in the book of Daniel, is to escape the tyranny of religiosity in Europe that had gained control and had had control for centuries in that respect, and to provide a religious freedom to enjoy Christianity or any other form of worship that one might so choose to engage in or to believe in, accept in that respect. And in that vein, obviously, it emphasizes the desire to promote and to exercise divine institution number one, and that is free will. That is the freedom that God has given every human being. It is to be an inalienable right, if you will, to believe what they choose to believe, whether it is for what God expresses or reveals in that regards or against God. But it is designed to be able to exercise that freedom to the maximum with respect to one's own faith and belief in regards to life and ideology and principles, obviously as long as what one believes is not designed to harm another in that vein. And as a nation, we were established with the laws of the land, and as it is in our constitutional rights, we are supposed to have the freedom of worship, the freedom, if you will, to believe what we want to believe, whether it be in a local church, whether it be in a temple, or whether it be in a mosque or whatever. And obviously, there is no other truly exercised nationally in regards to a society of having more freedom than to choose their ideology respectfully and have the right to pursue it and embrace it throughout their lives in regards to their livelihood. And for us, it was a nation that was established with the potential of maximum blessing because of the Christian values, the Christian virtues, and the laws, if you will, that were established in regards to our society. Not unlike Esau himself, whom was laid at his feet through grace, all the blessings of the covenant. And over time, he comes to choose to despise it, to reject it, and to trade it for his own fleshly lusts and desires in life. That was, at that point in time, simply a meal to satiate, if you will, or try to satisfy his immediate hunger. And we as a country, over time, have come to despise and reject the principles of Christianity and its virtues as a nation, one nation under God in that vein, and now are opting, as is very clearly obvious through the media and other venues of communication, that society is quickly turning to embrace and in despising the truth of doctrine otherwise, and to accept the relative morals of mankind based on, if you will, the masses, democracy, what everybody wants to believe in otherwise. And we have truly turned away from what biblical principles we have. The church, in its support over the centuries, has maintained very good support. But in the last days, we know through prophecy that the church becomes lukewarm. And the effects of that lukewarmness truly is taking place in regards to its impact, the demise spiritually, the spiral, downward spiral spiritually in regards to our nation, because there is no real voice in a corporate capacity to be proclaiming in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine otherwise. So we are where we're at because of our spiritual malfeasance, our spiritual rejection as a society in regards to God. A lot of it, obviously, it has different arms of expression through internationalism, through the moral and ethical conduct of society, the laws that have come down the line, the pike, like in marriage, the first deterioration came about when the law decided to recognize common law marriage, where the marriage is not formal in regards to husband and wife, and now look what it's turned into. Almost unrecognizable in some cases. And we see the effects of this leaven that has entered into society in that respect. And it goes all the way up to the top of those who are obviously in charge of running our country otherwise. And what few voices that we do have that seek to try to cling to our biblical principles and the constitutional rights and freedoms obviously are becoming fewer and fewer and far between and heard in regards to those things that are going on around us. So God established us, as he does all nations, and he provided for us the benefit and potential of a excellent Christian heritage to draw upon, which opens the doors for God to bless us immensely as a nation. You know, nations have come into existence, obviously, through religious ideals in regards to their existence. But the United States probably stands out in regards to being founded on Christian values and principles in its most pure sense in regards to history. The rest of it is obviously greatly tainted, apart maybe from the early church, was greatly tainted by Roman Catholicism. But anyway, the U.S. Has experienced unprecedented prosperity, as we dealt with there, which makes her the parallel to Tyre being a type of our nation. God blessing the nation for his stand of virtues corporally, in spite of what individuals may have done over history, but to maintain the integrity of God giving inalienable rights to men. So that, obviously, while all of us like to be prospered, all of us like to be blessed, those things in and of themselves can become a test. All of a sudden, now you have all that you want. Where is your attention? Where is your affection going now? Is it to those things that you've acquired? And are you leaving God over it? And your spiritual life is diminishing in that respect? And you under greed want more and more and more? Well, corporately, as a country, we are personified as being such a type. So see, as America became the economic leader of the world, she became a gradual descent into evil. It's all about the money. Again, you'll probably be hard-pressed to find a political person in a high position of politics, of government, that is not influenced and in the back pocket of, if you will, some special interest group. Some industry, etc., some big financial supporter. We've supported you. Now you need to do this for us, blah, blah, blah. It's all about the money. And I'm not saying all of them are like that. But it basically governs how our politicians operate. It is turned from a system to serve people to serve themselves. Just a way to line their own pockets in many cases. So D, her evil, simply stated, is economic internationalism, whereby she has led other nations to evil. Other nations have gotten to bed with us economically through the great merchants, through industry, through wealthy powerhouses of corporations, etc., and through economic internationalism, which there's nothing wrong in and of itself of trading with other nations. But in the event the money has tied these nations together in a way that nations have also spiraled down the tube, becoming greedy themselves over time, and they too are on the bandwagon to try to line their pockets as much as possible as government officials and others who may already hold economic power and authority in that vein. So during the process, she came under the control of monopolistic socialists. I was looking at a tape today, YouTube deal, of the path of Trump to the White House, which goes back several years. And he early on was talking about how our country is making every other country rich and our own people suffer. He recognized this many years ago. And he was making a comment in regards to the Federal Reserve of dropping a point to boost the economy to help people here in this regards. He said, but the problem is every time they drop a point, the oil cartel, as he likes to call them, raise the oil prices. So it basically offsets everything. And the OPEC system that is designed to truly control and monopolize the energy platform of the world is in and of itself the control financially in that aspect, in those ways. And even though they may be in competition with one another, they recognize the need to cooperate with one another in order to maintain that control. And like I was talking in the last class, you used to be able to find small independent oil companies, but every time someone maybe gets that way, they're invited to join the oil cult so that they can obviously participate in the cult. Then the cartel has control over them. So just one of those little things. How many people, how much did they teach that in school? Do you learn that in your history classes, in economics? And then their method of exercise is to try to draw and enslave people to their agenda, to slave people to obviously be indebted to them, to give them more money, and they become socialistic in regards to the economy of societies. They want us to pay for everybody else while they sit on their mounds and mounds of dollars themselves, and doesn't hurt them one bit. You know, all the laws, etc., in regards to taxes and things, the loopholes that have been created over history to give the extremely wealthy, I'm talking extremely wealthy. They call, a half a million or a millionaire wealthy. No, they're not comparatively. We're talking about billionaires, maybe even trillionaires that exist in this planet. And obviously, they want to have us, through our own tax dollars, support everybody else, and that frees up for them, obviously, to fleece the market, to fleece the people, to fleece societies, to put more money in their own pocket. All right, F, where we left off, her citizens came under the idolatry of covetousness and were unwilling to break the control. It becomes a mindset of the citizens corporately to also get under greed, get under lust, to covet. He who has the most toys wins, the mentality of life, have all the good things in life, etc. And they find themselves in a situation where, through the manipulation of these corporations, the deep state, if you will, those who truly are controlling our government, to rely upon government, to rely upon others, to continue feed them in regards to the economy, and because of the departure from Christian virtues and principles in society as a whole, when it comes down to the point of actually watching them do this, what you find is a citizen's degree that looks helpless. They're not really willing to buck the system. Obviously, we're not talking about sponsoring antinomianism or lawlessness, but there are legal ways to do so. And there is not enough support, if you will, in regards to those who may have the ability and capability monetarily and in power and authority from the citizenry to overturn these things. You wonder how certain people get into office and stay in office over years and years and years. And their diplomacy, their ideology is gross. You know, people keep voting them in. All right, we looked at Jeremiah 50, verse 38, Revelation 18, 3 and 7. All the nations have drunk of the wine, the passion of immorality. Again, these are verses we'll read a lot of them over again. But the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. That is the debauchery that comes about with much wealth that people practice. Obviously, with wealth comes freedom, the ability to do things that one may not normally do, etc. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Her sensuality is the lust and greed for money, and all the debauchery and STA pursuits one can involve themselves in that regards. To the degree she has glorified herself for 7 lips sensually. The sexual metaphor here looks at the wealthy expression, or the expression of wealth in all of its forms of evil. To the same degree, give her torment and mourning because of her arrogance. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I'm not a widow and will never see mourning. So G, her unseen rulers, that which we may refer to a certain degree as the deep state, those under that are under the scene, behind the scenes, they're manipulating with their donations and their ties in regards to certain things. Anytime you see a government official promoting something that you know he has his hands tied into economically through some facet, a warning flag right there. What's it all about? Is it really about the health of people? So the unseen rulers, verse point G, which are the wealthy elite, known as the Prince of Tyre, have clandestinely supported communism over history, like the Fords. The auto manufacturer was involved in Germany. Arm and Hammer, where you think the arm and sickle symbol came from in regards to the baking soda. The world is the result is world unrest, revolution, and suffering. You have all these mechanisms going on in regards to the wealthy, powerful people in the world, which in competition with one another create conflict, introducing in a mixture of ideals. And obviously, our country became a breeding ground for these people to exist and to employ their strategies otherwise. Isaiah 21:2. The harsh vision has been shown to me. The treacherous one still deals treacherously, and the destroyer still destroys. Go up, Elam, lay siege, Media. I have made an end of all the groaning she has caused. To deal treacherously means that essentially they should be considered traitors in their financial dealings. In the school of justice, they should have been executed for the things that they've done. But these people get away with it because money speaks. Now the people that are greedy will turn a blind eye. And it gives them, obviously, they have the means and the freedom to engage those who support them in regards to their ideologies. The media is a great example of that. People own mainline media, all the major stations have their agendas. Much of it, if not most of it, is socialistic, communistic. Communism was something that a half a century ago our country was still going, no way. Now look at us. fascism. Wannabe state dictators. Sad. Eighth, world unrest is due to universal covetousness. It's all about the money. It's all about the good life. Again, Revelation 18:3 that we saw and read. It spread to all the countries. We've taken our leaven, our economic leaven, and we have established the virus. There's your real virus. It's going to kill a lot of people, send them to death. America, as most of us already know, is leading the nations in an unprecedented revolt against the Lord, which will usher in the tribulation. This through providing the foundation and backbone to the international political, economic world system under the UN. 1918, they first attempted it after World War I with the League of Nations. There was enough people in our government that saw the evil of that and squashed that. But then after World War II, another advantage came around and they jumped on it. Psalm 2, 1 through 3. Why are the nations in an uproar? The unsettledness, the chaos, the verbal banter going on between world leaders, etc. And the people's devising a vain thing. A vain thing is that which is worthless and empty. It is anti-God. The vanity that is in view in regards to the nations as a whole is the ideology of a one world government that is represented by the United Nations and has as its primary economic platform prophetic Babylon. It's all pretty apropos. The kings of the earth take their stand. These verses are all messianic. It shows their open hostility in regards to the Christian faith, the divine institutions in and of themselves, particularly number four, nationalism. As if men can save the world. I get so sick of hearing, oh, look at all the people you're saving by doing this and doing that. Oh, really? So now we're saviors. See? That's the way Satan operates. That's the kind of leaven he likes to insert in people's thoughts to build up their ego. See? To destroy any humility and looking to God for help in regards to their lives. Now, we're not saying people don't help people. And yeah, maybe people can do some miraculous things deliver them from certain events, etc. But God's still all behind it. And it's ultimately God that is responsible in regards to the deliverance. See? All the seatbelts are saving lives. Look at all the lives that seatbelts have saved over the years. We can prove it. Oh, really? How can you prove it? The only way you can prove it is take away seatbelts and go through history all over again and see how many people died or doesn't. I'm surprised they don't make us put it on our motorcycles. Golly. Only seatbelt I want is that one sitting behind me. All right, well, maybe you don't have a bike, you probably don't get that one. But anyway, the kings of the earth take their stand, their opposition, their stand of opposition in regards to biblical ideologies and principles under the terms of nationalism that is God-ordained to rebel against God. And again, we know that all of this is simply establishing a firm platform foundation for the Antichrist to appear on the scene and take over the loose ends, if you will, and bring it all together. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart. That's your restraints. That's divine restraints, see. And cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of these biblical, these geographical boundaries that are biblically ordained. We're all in this together. I mean, all this, all the rhetoric that you hear is designed to school people to think in a certain way. No, we're not all in this together. Only in the fact that we're all humanity. But in regards to ideology, in regards to perception, no. See. Anyway. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. You know, everybody wants to keep reminding us of remember 9/11. That was a horrendous deal. But did it ever strike you as funny that it was the World Trade Center that came down? With doctrine, that should be an eye-opener. Back in the real estate world, in my previous life, the property manager for the World Trade Center came and spoke to us at one of our large real estate corporate meetings, a Bowman meeting. He got up and bragged at that point in time because they had that one bombing that occurred under the building. Somebody set off a bomb down there to try to wreak havoc, and it did minor destruction. I can't remember what date that was. But anyway, it was post that. And he came in and his brag was, nothing can destroy these buildings. They are built so good. Well, that was almost in 1 hour one day, wasn't it? Does anybody wake up? No, people get all wrapped up in their emotions. They throw doctrine out the window. I'm talking about people that should know better, too. You know, and they want to keep blowing their trumpet. I guess that's pretty apropos. I know I'm not a bearer of good news. I'm not good time Ken when it comes in regards to the history of our country. But I'm not going to lie to you either. Any more than the Bible is going to lie to us. The direction our country is going is a direction that was prophesied that it would go. And we are watching it. And from that, we draw our inner joy and our inner happiness and our inner peace. Knowing that God's plan is being fulfilled in His own perfect timing. You know, you read those verses, crying peace and safety and sudden destruction. Suddenness. Things happen rapidly. Yeah, I guess they are. Then He will speak to them in His anger, verse 5. The judgment will come on a global scale. We are just a prime example. And if you will, the worst example of the evil that has brought about this global judgment, unprecedented in time on nations apart from the flood. and terrified him in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. J, however, Christ is going to break America's control over their nations, ushering in unprecedented and universal freedom called the millennium. On the global scale, obviously, that's already inferred, or if not explicit, in the verses we just read there in Psalm, also Jeremiah 50, verse 34. The Redeemer is strong, the Lord of armies is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so he may bring rest to the earth, the turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. Jeremiah 50 being obviously a major passage dealing with Babylon, prophetic Babylon. So all of this is birth pangs, if you will, in regards to the world that will ultimately usher in an era, a period of unprecedented blessing and peace and harmony on this planet. And it only can be done under a ruler that does not have a sin nature. That's Jesus Christ. That's the problem. That's why man cannot bring about a global harmony and a global peace. Because men have sin natures. It's the nature of men to be evil. Only by the grace of God and through the truth of Bible doctrine and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross can that ever be overcome and overruled in regards to men. And even then, it's still present. Roman numeral 19, reasons for the overthrow of the United States. Again, some of this is repetitive, but we're breaking it down for our documentation purposes. A, economic internationalism, again, Revelation 18:3. Through the Federal Reserve System. Federal Reserve System gives countries that are otherwise unscrupulous in regards to things the ability to manipulate the value of our currency based on the value of their own currency, like China over the years devaluing their currency, which undermines ours because we're all in the same system. B, blind, that was Revelation 18:3, blind arrogance. Again, Revelation 18:7, Isaiah 47:7-8. Again, that one was. Let's see. Yet you say, I will be a queen forever. These things you do not consider nor remember the outcome of them. People don't learn from the past. People give lip service that, you know, we should learn from history, but they've learned nothing from history. They didn't learn anything from Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, maybe they did for a while. Verse 8. Now then, hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who said in your heart, I am, there is no one beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. See our role in anti-Semitism. On the one hand, with the Christian influence, supporters of Israel, on the other hand, allowing anti-Semitism to exist and to be perpetuated and undermining Israel otherwise in certain political platforms. Jeremiah 50:11. because you are glad, because you are jubilant, O you who pillage my heritage. To take advantage of Judeo-Christian faith and trash it. In that sense, they even become anti-Semitic. Jeremiah 51, 34 through 40. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. Verse 34. Israel, he has set me down like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me away. May the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitants of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry, and Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. The times we sit back and we didn't come to Israel's aid when we should have. And the attacks going on, making them supporting them giving up their land that they took righteously so from Egypt in the 7-day war. Any other nation went in and conquered another nation like that. Okay, yeah, it's yours. But not Israel. All of our roles in these things. An object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. Verse 38, they will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. When they become heated up, I shall serve them their banquet. Verse 39, and make them drunk that they may become jubilant and may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, declares the Lord. Through their insatiable desire of evil, lust for details of life and money, sexual lust, other ideologies that obviously depart them from the truth, such as through false science and academia, to be drunk on these things, see. It looks at their spiritual disorientation in regards to things. And that's part of the discipline that can spawn negative volition. That's what you want, that's what you'll get. And we'll let it run its course. 40, I shall bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with male goats. Verse 49, indeed Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, and also for Babylon the slain of all the earth have fallen. The slain of all the earth has fallen. See, it's not just historical Babylon and what they did in 586 B.C. I said 1586, 586 B.C. But it's prophetic Babylon and our impact internationally, globally. The idolatry and demonism. Isaiah 21:9. As we know, every unclean bird eventually will settle on our continent, settle in our nation. And it's not, you got to understand, evil is not just in the sense of immorality per se. Those things that people generally consider bad, but human good. That's the idea behind socialism, is human good. See, we're doing good for the best of mankind, for the majority of mankind, provide for all of them, work and everyone be equal. Grab your sickle and go out there and cut that wheat. How quick we have forgotten as a country. Bring down the walls, Mr. Gorbachev. How quick we have forgotten. And how quick they have not forgotten and have arisen and are now doing their thing. 21:9. Now behold, here comes a troop of riders, horsemen, and pairs. One answered and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon, and all the images are for God. Gods are shattered on the ground." All those great sports teams that we herald and hold up as icons, and the players, big actors and actresses of Hollywood and in the music world and entertainment, all the powerfully elite, the rich and famous that show off all their wealth and things of this nature that everyone lusts after. Oh, I wish I could be that. You know, all other people's gods. No matter what category it may come into. Isaiah 21:9. And then Revelation 18:2. She has become a dwelling place of demons, verse 2b, and a prison of every unclean spirit. A prison of every unclean and hateful bird. The unclean birds are carrion birds, generally speaking, in the scripture. Birds that feed off of dead animals. And really, that is what we're seeing much in society today. People trying to feed off everybody else. Like vultures. She provides a framework and the main contributor to the New World Order, seeking to undermine nationalism via hosting the UN on U.S. territory. I killed that fly, but my hand's probably not quick enough. And again, Psalm 2, that we read that. So, we're fast on the path. We'll see how it all plays out from the time we have left. I have decided I'm going to go ahead and do the rapture after the doctrine of the rapture after this, so that we are truly grounded once again, to reinforce our grounding of the time in which we live, and so that while they try to, you know, peel us off, put it that way, in regards to their antics of evil that go on around us, we don't lose sight, we don't lose hope. That we stay the course, we maintain our witness, etc. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.